Shalom, Gemar Chatima Tova. And before I start the shiur, I think I started to make tshuva. It is a proper time for some reflection. And I would like to shortly discuss our group here, the shiur. Most of my teaching is to young adults, 21, 22.
That sounds
clarified. What? They're very young, yeah.
Guys.
And in this room, I think I'm the youngest person in the room.
No, guys. We're all in disguise. That's okay. You don't recognize the youthful spirit. Thank you very much.
Well, I do. That's what I wanted to thank you for. I very much cherish the zchut to teach you, to learn together. I'm also used to smaller crowds, usually. I don't want to say the number, the less. And I'm moved by your coming, and I want to thank you for that. And I want to thank all those who correct my English mistakes. Well, one of them, Rabbi Frank, is not here today. And I want to add that today there are some participants here in the Shiur, a whole Boston line over here, the people who remember me as a little child, my aunt, relatives. And thank you for coming. I'd also like to thank Beit Avichai for hosting the Shiur, Baruch for being Gabbai, Mr. Fried and Mrs. Bernstein sometimes attend, and the management of Beit Avichai, please make sure to pass it over to them. To all of us, Shana Tova. Before, when Baruch served the refreshments, one of you has said to me, have a tzom kal. And I said to him, that's the topic of the shiur. Should it be a tzom kal or not? Maybe a tzom kasher. Right. And what I would like to reflect and discuss today is try to understand the essence, the meaning of the Torah's commandment in Yom Kippur, ta'anu et nafshotechem, which would seem to be unusual within halachic categorization. And I think that it requires some clarification. What is the experience of Yom Kippur? What does the Torah want from us to experience on that day? When for years I've been learning the topic and identifying with one approach, which I will share with you, I will start with that. And last year when I rethought about the Sugyot, rethought Yom Kippur, I noticed that in the Bavli is a very different approach. And surprisingly, I didn't like it very much. And this year we'll start with shortly trying to portray perhaps what it appears in the Pesukim, in the Tanakh itself. Then we'll go to the Tanaim shortly. I would like the center part of this year to focus on what I'd like to together see, which I think appears in the Sugyot of the Bavli. The commandment of Inui and Yom Kippurim appears in the Torah in Vayikra Tetzayin, at the end of the parasha of the Avodah of the Kohen Gadol in Yom Kippurim. The truth is that the whole parak, from Pasuk Aleph to Pasuk of Chet, does not mention at all Yom Kippur. It describes Aaron a Kohen going into Kodesh HaKodeshim and making some sacrifices, and only in Pasuk Chavtet, at the end of the description of Seder HaAvodah, the Torah says that this Seder HaAvodah has to be done once a year on Yom HaKippurim. It's well quoted and known in the name of the Gaon Mivilna that Aaron HaKohen himself could enter Kodesh HaKodeshim any time of the year. If he would like to enter in Tammuz, he would do the Seder HaAvodah and enter. Basically, the parasha, I will not focus upon that. It's not solely a Yom Kippur parasha, it's how to go into Kodesh HaKodeshim, how to face God. And the Torah says, "Vayta lachem chukat olam b'chodesh ha-shvi'i, b'asol ha-chodesh, ta'anu et nafshotechem, v'chol melacha lo ta'asu, ha'ezrach v'ager agar b'tochachem." And then the next pasuk, it's a pasuk which we mentioned during the tefillot of Yom Kippurim 8 times. It appears in the Chatima of Kedushat Hayom. When we say Mechal Avonoteinu B'Yom HaKippurim Hazeh, we mention this Pasuk. And the three Viduyim of the Kohen Gadol mention in Seder HaAvodah, Echach Haya Omer Ana Hashem, include this Pasuk too. So we all together 8 times, and I think it's a good opportunity to try to understand what the Pasuk means. Because what we do in the Tfilot, we only quote the Pasuk Lamed, but since Pasuk Lamed opens with the word Ki, it's explaining Pasuk Chavtet. So we have to see what is the Torah explaining over here. And it would seem the following. The Torah is coming to explain the Ta'anuen Nafshotechem. Why? Why such an unusual commandment? And the answer the Torah gives is the following. Ki vayom hazeh yechaper aleichem. Who? Who's mechaper on Yom Kippurim? God. That's what most people answer me when I ask them this question. And it would seem so. God should do the kapara. But the truth is, don't be upset with me, but if you read through Vayikra Tzayin, you know that through the whole parak, the kapara is done by Aharon. I'll read you a few psukim to convince you. Pasuk Vav. V'ikriv Aharon et parachatat asher lo, v'chiper ba'ado v'ad beito. It's Aharon. Later on, let's skip a little. Yes, please. Raising your hand? Yes, I see it.
Can I ask?
Yes, please.
But isn't Aaron just as the Kohanim when they bless, aren't they acting for Hashem? Isn't there so Aaron acting in Hashem's place?
No.
No?
I don't think so. I'll suggest something different with your permission. I just first wanted to convince you that the kapara is not done by God, but by Aaron. So let's quote another pasuk, okay? For example, in later on in pasuk Tetzayin, v'chiper al hakodesh mitumot bnei Yisrael v'chei yaaseh lo'oil moed ha'shochein itam. It's Aaron through the whole parak. And the explanation is the kapara doesn't mean to forgive. Kapara means to do the act which is wiping out the sin. It's basically asking God to forgive. The forgiveness is granted by God, not by the Kohen. That's why I would prefer to say that it's not that the Kohen does what God does. The Kohen represents us. The Kadosh Baruch Hu is Soleach. The terminology of computers, Aaron types in the request for Bakasha, and enter is done by God. L'chaper doesn't mean lisloach. It's two separate meanings. So the pasuk seems to be saying, ki bayom hazeh yechaper hu? Aharon, on who? Aleichem. Letaher etchem. Mikol chatotechem. And basically this pasuk reflects, I would say, one of the central dilemmas of the world of sacrifices of korbanot. You never learned the Mishnayot of Masechet Yoma, Perek Aleph Atzayin, could feel that very strongly. We are used today that everybody goes to shul, everybody participates in the prayers. We do have the central figure of the Baal Tefila. The Rav Shul used to put next to him two people because he viewed him as a Kohen Gadol. In the same way the Kohen Gadol had next to him the Sgan and the Rosh Beit Av. So the Rav would put next to the Baal Musaf two people. But still, even though the Baal Musaf may be very central in our prayers, everybody prays, everybody participates in the experience of Yom HaKippurim. But if you just go back to Vayikra Tzayin, and also if you read carefully the Mishnayot of Yuma, something is very clear there. It's a soul of the Kohen Gadol. He does everything. V'chol adam lo yeh bo'el mo'ed b'vol l'chaper l'chodesh. In Mishnayot Yuma, they seem to be in the boxer seats looking at him. They're like, I don't want to say like it's in a football game, okay? But they're viewers. They look at the Kohen, and the only time the arms are mentioned in Mishnayot Yuma is when the Mishnah says they should know, in those times they did not have split screens. You cannot see everything. You have to choose. Whoever saw the burning of the Seirim could not see the Kohen HaGadol reading the Torah. But the Am is passive. Now, the Am being passive is not only a technical matter, an issue. Something very fundamental regarding the essence of the day. Because Yechaper on who? Aleichem. Letaher etchem. But are you part of this process? Are you going through any change? Are you really awarded of this? I mean, who are you? Are you part of what's going on? So the Torah says that since Vayom Hazeh Yechaper Alechem the Kohen, And we're, the Torah is aware that you're not part of the process of the kapara. Therefore, the Torah says, "Lifnei Hashem, titaru." The Pshuto Shel Mikra, the titaru is not Ashreichem Israel; it's a commandment. And how will you meet tahar according to the Psukim? Through the previous pasuk, "Tanu et nafshotechem." And if you are ane, you're nefesh, you are part of the process of the kapara. It attaches you to what's performed by the Kohen.
Doesn't Aaron say the word titaru, if I remember from the davening? He says titaru.
Aaron, according to the Aaron, to the davening, the Mishnah and Yuma, right, he would say the vidui, quoting this pasuk, v'afu omer lahem titaru. When they would do the Kohanim v'am, they would bow down. So Aaron would yell out loud, titaru. It's a cry to the Kohen, be part of the process. Now, how are they part of the process? This already, I cannot say, I think clearly it's in Pshuto Shel Mikra, but the idea does appear in Tefillah Zakah. It appears in many sources, and those who are Rav fans, it appears too in their, one of the Rav's books, a book on Pesach, Festival of Freedom. In the first essay, the Rav attaches the fast of Yom Kippur with Leil HaSeder. And the explanation is very simple. You cannot understand a Jewish approach to food, to your, our body, if you only think you have to fast. You have to know, we'll discuss it later, that you also have an idea that you can eat properly, not only refrain from eating. But in that essay too, the Rav uses the same terminology as Tefillah Zakah, that is that the so-called mi'ut chelev adam, when you fast, so like part of, what's the ikar of the korban? It's the blood. And when you fast, it's like a sacrifice, you sacrifice too. In other words, the Kohen sacrifices the animal, and you sacrifice part of yourself. And those who know the Rav's philosophy, he loved the sacrifice. Jews have to be ready to sacrifice themselves all the time. This would seem to be an idea over here, that the inui is the focus, the aim, the purpose of the inui is, without really knowing from the Psukim what it is. Psukim are not too clear, is to make the the people, part of the process of the kaparad, performed solely by the Kohen Gadol. When we take our look to Yeshayahu, Nunchet, which is the Haftarah of Yom Kippurim, we really see a different idea which appears a lot in the manuscripts of the Rambam. That is that Psalm goes together with Tshuva, with your penitence. They go together. And in Yeshayahu it seems very clearly, and the attachment to the Lashon of the Psukim Vayikra in Pasuk Gimel, when the Am complain, Lamatzamnu v'lo ha'itam, Ininu nafsheinu v'lo teida. So the answer is, Hein v'yom tzomchem tintzu chayfetz, you're busy, you did not eat lunch, but you're thinking about your business all day. V'chol atzvichem tingosu, what is your business? Tzi pasuk dalet, Hein l'riv u'matzah tantzumu, Lakot begof resha. If that's the way you fast, Lo tatzumu chayom lashmiya b'marom kolchem. This is the fast that Kadosh Baruch Hu wants, only refraining from eating. Yomanot adam nafsho, halachov ke'agmon rosho v'sag v'efer yatzia. Halazet ikra tzom v'yom ratzon l'adonai. No. Halazet tzom evchave. What is it tzom? Pateach chaltubot resha, hater agudot muta, shalach ritzutim chufshim, v'chom muta tenateku, halofaros v'raev lachmecha, v'aniim merudim tavivayit, Kitele Aron v'chisito, mitzvacha lo titaram. The tzom of here has nothing to do with korbanot, has nothing to do with being a part of the kapara of the Kohen Gadol. It has to do with your inner values, with your being aware of social gaps, of your accepting upon yourself, as the Navi says in Zechariah, after he's asked, should we fast about the korban after the rebuilding of the second temple. So when he gives his answer, Tzom HaRevi'i, Tzom HaChamishi, Tzetra Yud, Beit Yisrael, Tzom HaSimcha, he adds, Haimet V'Shalom V'Havu. The fast day or day of rejoice are meaningless if they have no moral and no social implications. All you do is think about your stomach, and Yom Tov you eat, and on a fast day you fast. But it's nothing to do with the inner reflection on changing values, taking responsibility on problems in the community. It's worthless. And the Rambam in the guide, line 132, if everyone wants to see it, Rambam writes, "Tamo shel tzivui al tzom kippur barur gam ken latet et da'at hatshuva." והוא היום שבו הוריד אדון הנביאים את הלוחות השניות ובישר להם שנסלח את עם הגדול ואותו יום נעשה לנצח יום תשובה בעבודת השם. And if you're familiar with the Rambam in הלכות תעניות, the whole idea of תענית according to the Rambam has to do with תשובה. Later I'll try to explain more how does it work, but it has to do with תשובה. And even in Perakei, Hilchot Taniyot, when Rambam discusses the Taniyot of the Churbanot, which would seem to be a reflection of Evel and not of Tshuva, Rambam attaches them to the Tshuva, explaining that even though the Tzara is not happening currently, but the Churban was because of Avonot, and apparently we did not fix them yet, as Chazal say, Kol Dor Shalom Yivna Beit HaMikdash B'yamav Kilu Chalav B'yamav. And therefore, if we still live in a reality of Chorban, apparently there's some sin involved, and therefore the Tzomot too of the Avilut Historit, also historical Avilut, also have to do with Chet, and therefore they deal with Tshuva. It's one of Darchei Tshuva. That's what seem, what would seem in the Psukim in Vayikra and in Yishayahu, which I developed a little through the Rambam. I would like now to continue on in reading the Sifra, the Midrash of the Tanaim, a Sefer Vayikra. This Baraita is quoted too in the Bavli, Masechet Yoma, and Ayin Dalet Amud Bet. Maybe it's more familiar from there. And this Braita takes us through a process, stage by stage, trying to explain to us what is this inui. You show the language of Chazal many times is different than the language of the Psukim. The Psukim many times describe the essence of the halachic phenomena. Tanaim more discuss the details, the halachic details. How do, in reality, how do express, okay, this idea. But if you read the Sifra very clearly, you can see a very clear idea of what Yom Kippurim is all about. And the Sifra starts the following: Te'anu et nafshotechem yachol yeshev lo bachama uvatzina kedei sheyitzta'em. What's the first understanding of inui that the Tanaim had in their mind? Since the shir is in English, let's translate inui to English. Okay?
Discomfort.
Torture. You say discomfort.
Discomfort.
Discomfort. Torture. Affliction. Maybe suffering. Today in Hebrew, when they talk about the Shabbat, they talk about inuim, right? Inquisition, Martefe, inuim. I mean, it has to do with torture. And I would like to ask you, why out of all methods of torture or suffering, they have chosen Yeshev Bachama Uvatzina Kedei Sheyitzta'er? They could bring something else? I mean, this accidental, this is the example they have thought of? Or perhaps there's something which explains why they chose this example. But it's known, especially those from the Golden of Medina, you know, weather here is pretty hot, right? I live in Beit Shemesh, there's a lot of sun there. So what Yeshev Bachama means, I know. Yeshev Batzina, you go to Gush Etzion, you know what it means too. Meaning, it could be something not pleasant. But why did they, out of all possibilities of tsar in the world, did they choose this? I'll try to explain it later. But it was something that's very clear, that the Sifra, the Tanaim, they thought their first reading of the Pasuk, that the Torah commanded us to be tortured or suffer in Yom Kippurim. And the Sifra is saying that this is something which we cannot even think about. And he's trying to convince us that it's not so. And look at the explanation. Talmud lomar kol melacha lo ta'asu. Melacha asarti lecha b'makom acher, ve'inui asarti lecha b'makom acher. Ma melacha asarti lecha b'makom acher? Melacha shechayavim aleha karet, af inui shasarti lecha b'makom acher, inui shechayavim karet. No, I'll try to explain this. Okay, don't worry. I'll explain everything. The Sifra says a very fundamental idea regarding Yom Kippur. I hinted to it before when I referred to the Rav's essay about eating. What the Sifra says is that Yom Kippur cannot talk a language which doesn't meet any more parts of Jewish law. It's not possible that Yom Kippurim has a non-Jewish idea which is in its roots of the day. Yom Kippur has to talk with categories which we are familiar with them from other parts of Halakha. Now, who teaches me that this is so? The Isur Melacha of Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is not only a day of Inui, it's also a day of refraining from Melacha. And since the idea of Isur Melacha is known from other parts of Halakha, it's a familiar Halakha category. That's what the Sifra means by Melacha Asarti Lecha B'Makom Acher. Yom Kippur talks the language of Shabbat. So therefore, the Inui the Torah talked about has to be some halachic category which appears in another place in Halacha. And since the idea of torturing yourself is a non-Jewish idea, it does not appear in any other place in Halacha, it's not possible to explain Yom Kippur that way. Yom Kippur calls us to have tzar, to have torture. That's not the way the Kadosh Baruch Hu talks to the Jewish people. Therefore, Yom Kippurim has to, the Inui of Yom Kippur has to somehow relate to a halachic concept known from another place. And where is that? So they say the following, Af Inui Shasad HaMakom Acher, look at the character. Since a person who is not mitaneh Yom Kippur is chayav karet, I have to find now a halachic action that if somebody performs it, he's chayav karet.
What is karet?
Karet is, it's a good question. It means that he will die by heaven. The machloket rishonim, what it means. Rambam says it means that he won't have olam haba. And many think it means that his children will die too. Not only he will die. It's a karet of the whole family. But it means that it's one of the isurim in the Torah, which the penalty is a death penalty, not performed by a human court, but bidei shamayim. So let the Kadosh Baruch Hu decide if he likes the Rambam or likes Rashi, okay? That's his decision how to do it, okay? I don't know exactly how he performs it. But since the Inui of Yom Kippur is Chiyuv Karet, let's go to the list of the halachic categories, prohibitions, that whoever performs them is Chayav Karet. One of them will be the Inui of Yom Kippur, or in other words, refraining from one of them will be the Inui of Yom Kippur, because performing one of them is not even possible to think of. And the truth is, there's a long list of Chayvei Karet, you should know. Where the Sifra does not give the full list. It jumps to the one it wants to jump to. If you're familiar with Gemara Yuma, the Gemara Daf Ayin Daled knows the other possibilities and asks, why did you choose this or that? But what the Sifra has chosen is there are some eatings which if you eat them, you are Chayav Karet. And that is Pigul V'Notar. Pigul V'Notar are from the world of Korbanot, of sacrifices. Notar is you have a limited time you can eat the meat of the Korban. Most Korbanot are for Yom V'Layla, HaKodesh Kodeshim, Korban Todah. Kodeshim Kalim are Yom V'Layla V'Yom, Mos Shlamim, not all of them. And if it's left over, if it's Notar, so you're not allowed to eat. If you eat it, you're Chayav Karet. What is Pigul? If when you sacrifice the korban, the kohen thinks that he will eat it after the time or in the wrong place. Chutz zman or chutz l'mkomo. And if you eat that basar of the korban too, your chayav mita. Now here I want to say something about the Sifra. The Sifra is saying, here I found an act of eating which if you eat something, you're chayav karet, and therefore, when the Torah again inui with karet and Yom Kippur, it was referring to eating. But here you have to read the sifra like Asarit Bnei Aman, meaning you can't stop over here. I mean, nobody cannot take seriously an idea that we're not allowed to do in Yom Kippur is to eat pigul. I mean, I hope nobody here thinks that you can really think so. So you have to read the whole sifra. The sifra is really developing an idea. It starts with in the eating, which has a chiyuv karet, and then it will take us to the idea that you're not allowed to eat anything. Even those eatings which are involved no karet. So we read it like a Asarit Bnei Aman, the Neshima Achad. So the first stage is, it's a very important stage. You cannot expect Yom Kippur to be a non-halachic known category. Not possible. Yom Kippur has to be part of a whole system. The Torah is a worldview. When you read Taryag Mitzvot and Taryag of them don't talk about torturing yourself, you can't say one day in the year, let's be like Christian monks. It doesn't work. That's not a Jewish thought. So therefore, it's a refraining from eating, because eating is known, it's a real human action, is known from other places. Now the Sifra goes here, very strange list, but you have to read the whole list, as I mentioned, Pinishima Achat. And the Sifra says, okay, you convinced me not to eat Pigul v'notar in Yom Kippur. It's a good idea. I know such plans, you should know. But Minayin l'rabot et ha-tzvalim, what is Tevel? It's fruits which you were not mafrish from them through motu masrot. If you eat tevel, you're chayav mita bidei shamayim, which is less than karet. Okay, so maybe in Yom Kippur, the inui does not include tevel. Talmud lomar, tanu et nafshotechem riba. Okay, you convince me not to eat tevel in Yom Kippur. Bet atzvali shein bemita. Lo bet hanefeilot shenam bemita. Nefeila is a lav with no mita, only malkot. So maybe the inui of Yom Kippur does not include nevelot. Talmud lomar, tanu et nafshotechem riba. Albet hanevelot shehen belot taaseh. V'lo albet achulin shehen belot taaseh. Maybe in Yom Kippur you're not allowed to eat machalot asurot. Rebbe says you're not allowed to eat chulin. So the Sifra says, Talmud lomar, tanu et nafshotechem riba. Okay, don't eat chulin in Yom Kippur. There's a mitzvah to eat truma if you're a kohen. So maybe in Yom Kippur the kohanim can eat truma, or Israel can eat maaser sheni. Talmud lomar, it's like a is it pizmon? It repeats itself.
Chorus.
Okay, thank you. Tanu nafshotechem riba. הרבה תרומה ומעשר שני שאין בבל תותיר ולא הרבה את הקודשים של הבל תותיר. Maybe in Yom Kippur you can eat קודשים. And now we finished the נשימה אחת. I can breathe. תמוד לומר, תנו את נפשותיכם ריבה. You know the love in Yom Kippur to eat פיגול, נותר, תבל, נבלה, חולי, תרומה, מעשר שני, קודשים. In Yom Kippur, don't eat. This is a Sifra. When I would like to explain two things regarding the Sifra. One is that the drasha, the sifra repeats each time like a chorus, Talmud lomar, Talmud nafshotechem, each time the same idea. And the explanation is very simple. The sifra used pigul v'notar to convince me that the act the Torah is referring to, but inui means eating. Because there's a type of eating that if you eat it, you're chayav karet. But since the goal of the Torah is inui, if you're allowed to eat some type of eating, you are not in the process of inui. I mean, if I was allowed to eat maaser sheni on Yom Kippur, I'm not ma'aneh my nefesh. And therefore, since the Torah commanded tanu et nafshotechem, it's clear that the Torah eventually had to command us not to eat anything. So the idea in this sifra is that I use karet in order to learn that it's an act of eating, but now I'm commanded to refrain from all eating. Don't eat anything. The second thing is, it still seems like a very strange text, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, okay, I told you Nishima Achad, Bnei Aman, but really, why did they do it to us? Why they couldn't just jump straight and say, okay, tanu nafshotechem, nothing? So I would like to suggest, it's a very fundamental idea in this sifra. And you will notice very clearly that there is a parallelism here between two parts of it. It's chiastic. Pigul de notar, a parallel to kachim. You can do it with your pens, okay? And pigul de notar go to kachim, okay? You have like this, okay? Tevel goes together with truma and maaser sheni, and the vilah goes together with chulin. You see the menorah? Okay? Here's the menorah. Seder? Meaning what the Sifra is really doing here, it's giving us a map of the halakha's relation to eating, to the human body. That's what the Sifra is really doing. The same idea I told you before, developed by the Rav there, you can't talk about what do I learn from a one day a year telling me not to eat, about what's the halakha's approach to our bodies. If you want to know what the halakha thinks about our bodies, you have to see the whole picture. You have to see the menorah that I portray here. Meaning, what the Sifra is telling us, that the halakha is neutral eatings. There are chulin and nevelot, which seem to be parv, as you could say. There are achilot of maaser sheni and truma, and there's even the idea of the halakha of achilat kodesh. Meaning a Jew can sacrifice body, not only refrain from eating one day a year, but you can be ochel lifnei Hashem, an idea that the Greeks can never even imagine. But this is a very essential Jewish idea, and appears in the Torah endlessly. Sefer Dvarim is full of it. The idea of achalta lifnei Hashem Elokecha. And when the Sifra is telling you, when you prepare yourself for Yom Kippurim, don't learn from Yom Kippur that the Torah is a negative attitude towards eating. Because the same Torah that told you, Tanu Nafshatechem, told you, eat kachim, eat maaser sheni. You can sanctify the human body. You have to sometimes, let's continue this Sifra, sometimes refrain from eating, but not because eating and human body are negative. And this idea we're taught through these six Bnei Haman and the Sifra, through the Pigul Notar, meaning we're taught here about a proper halachic attitude towards our bodies, and only if you put Yom Kippur within the right framework, you understand the idea of the day. Now, what is the idea of Yom Kippur? Really, why refrain if we have a positive attitude? So the Sifra continues, and with your permission, I'll skip the next three lines, because I want to focus on the Bible a little more. The Sifra, line 40, I skipped. It says the following: Minayin sheYom HaKippurim asur ba'achila, b'shtiya, b'rechitza, b'sicha, b'nat ha'sandal, u'b'tashmish ha'mita. Now, as you notice very clearly, the inui according to the Sifra can only include an act shechayavim karet b'makom acher, meaning only eating and perhaps also drinking. What about the other inuim of Yom HaKippurim? Mitnat ha'sandal, b'rechitza, tashmish ha'mita. The Sifra does not include it in the commandment of Te'anu et Nafshotechem. It's not part of that commandment. Because it does not match the halakha categorization described before, that there's another place of karet on Rechitza, another place of karet on Ilat HaSandal. There is, and I won't discuss it here, but the Bavli caught the Sifra. Theoretically, Tashmish HaMita could match very clearly to karet b'makom acher. The Bavli asked it. Some other time I'll try to explain it. But the Sifra very clearly does not include this whole group in the Inui. So we're... So what's our source teaching us to refrain from them? Look at the following explanation. Talud lomar, Shabbaton Shevot. They're only included in the Asay of Shvita on Yom HaKippurim. Not in the commandment of Inui, only Shvita. There are many Rishonim who think they're only a Sur Midrabanan, Tosfot in Masechet Yoma. In the Rambam it's clear, it's Doraita, all five of them, but they're only included in the Shabbaton. There's no karet on Rechitza, Tashmish Amita, Sicha, Lat HaSandal, only in Achila Oshtiyah, because only they're included in Tanu et Nafshotechem. And over here we see also a totally different understanding of the refraining from eating. A, the refrainment is positive, it's Shabbaton, and as we learn from the next line, it's part of the idea of the Shabbat, Shabbaton. Look at the amazing Hava Amina in the next line. Yochol teh Shabbat prishit asura b'chulam. Maybe it's Shabbat too. No nilat ha-sandal, no rechitza, I can tell you that some second temple sects, they thought the Shemitah Mitah was Sarim Shabbat. So there even were people who actually thought what the Hava Avinah says. And I can tell you also that the Karaites, who don't leave their homes in Shabbat, that's very close to Nimat HaSandal. You know that, right? Because there's no movement. What did my shoes give me? I can move. Maybe some other year we can discuss Nimat HaSandal, but it's like taking your car keys from you.
What about
Rechitza? Rechitza I'll discuss later in the Badli, okay? But the truth is Rechitza and Shabbat too, we don't take hot showers in Shabbat, right?
Is it with Achila? Is it hyphenated with Achila? Or is it separate category?
It's only part of Shabbaton. Only part of Shabbaton. The question is about Sicha, because Sicha Kishtiya. But Rechitza is only part of Shabbaton. And this amazing Hava Amina, that every Shabbat, you should not do all the five acts of Yom Kippur. Can you imagine not eating Cholten Shabbat? Can you imagine that? And the Sifra luckily says, Talmud Lomar, who asul bechulam en Shabbat b'shita sovra? Teach us, according to the Sifra, the Inuim, the five Inuim of the Mishnah, are not torture, they're Shabbaton. I would say in a regular Shabbat, we do not work. What we do in Yom Kippurim, according to the Sifra is, what do we do? Our whole bodily acts, we put them on pause. I would suggest that I started before with the Tzom Kal. That's the Tzom Kal. The Tzom Kal means, according to the Sifra, same way on Shabbat, you're not supposed to think about your business, and you do no melachot. On Yom Kippur, you don't think about your body. Because you're so involved in the sanctity of the day, and the experience of the day, that your body doesn't care much. We know from many, many verses in Tanakh, that when people get closer to God, they forget about their body and their needs. Like Shaul HaMelech, who tears his clothing, and it's described by many people in Tanakh. And to some extent, the closer you get to God on Yom Kippurim, again, it doesn't mean that it's negative to live in a bodily life. But once a year, you have a talut, you know, you go to a higher place, and that, I would say, reflects on the whole year. It's a very famous... I don't know if it's a joke or no, I'd say a pidgam that in Tisha B'Av who Tisha B'Av who can he, and on Yom Kippur who wants to, which is basically saying it's a mood. It's not only an Easter, it's a mood. You're so involved in shul, you don't think about your stomach, you know what I mean? And this is what the Inuim would seem to be according to the Sifra, and I'll conclude. The Inuim are a world of Shabbaton. It has to talk halachic language, anti-torture language. Yom Kippur is not a day of torture. It's a day of Tzom Kal. It's a day where you're so involved in being close to God. It's a super duper Shabbat. That's what Yom Kippur is. You put aside all the cheshbonot of the Adam, and you're involved in getting closer to God. For many years I like this very much. That's why I try to experience Yom Kippurim. You know, this idea is developed by the Rambam, who the laws of Yom Kippur called Halchot Shvitat Asor. And if you read the Rambam Halchot Shvitat Asor, you see very clearly. The Rambam adapted the idea of the Sifra. That's how he portrays Yom Kippurim. I always liked it because somehow I had something which did not like the idea of suffering. I liked the idea of not thinking about my stomach in Yom Kippur. I don't know if it's age, but lately I discovered, as I told you previously, that I think the Bavli has a different language, and I also like it. So let's try to see what perhaps appears in the Bavli, and try to understand and what Yom Kippur is the Bavli calling us to experience. The Bavli in Masechet Yuma, next line 45, Daf Ayivav, makes a very sharp turn from the Sifra in the following statement: Hane Chavisha Inuyim Keneged Me. This is the first time, to most of my knowledge, in halachic literature, that all five are called inuim. Because if you read the Mishnah, what does the Mishnah say? Yom Kippurim, asu, v'achila, shdiya, v'chitza. It doesn't say they're inuim. The Sifra says only achila, shdiya, inuim. All the rest are Shabbaton. The Bavli says they're all inuim. The Bavli likes the language of inuim. And the Bavli continues, I skipped your part, but I brought you some parts of Sugyot, to find regarding every Isur of Yom HaKippurim, where in Tanakh are they called Hinui? So, for example, the Dafayin Vavam with Bet, line 50, the Bavli asks, Rechitza v'sicha v'nalan dikri Hinui. So the Bavli says, Dichtiv in Daniel, Lechem Chamudot lo achalti, Basar v'yayin lo ba elpi, V'soch lo sachti, מנהלן לחשיב כעינוי, דכתיב, ויאמר אליי על תירת דניאל, כי מן היום הראשון אשר נתת את לבך להבין ולהתענות לפני אלוקיך נשמעו דבריך. So here we see that Daniel, refraining from שיחה, went through an experience of עינוי. The Bible continues, רחיצה מנהלן. They bring one suggestion. The Bible's effort is looking very carefully for the calling in Tanakh of all these actions as inuyim, and when it wants to live, how do we know that Rechitza is an inuy? So he takes us to the following pasuk in Melachim Aleph, Perek Bet. David HaMelech died, now Shlomo HaMelech is doing the so-called in Hebrew Chisul Chashbonot. You know what that is? The mafia, right? All those that were not nice to David HaMelech, their time has come now, Yom HaDin. And he goes to Abiatar HaKohen. Let's see what he says to him. Ibaitema says the Gemara. Rechitza dikri inui menalan. Mehacha. Dichti. Abiatar HaKohen amar HaMelech. Anatot lecha sadecha. Ki ish mavet ata. Uvayom hazeh lo amitcha. Why not? Abiatar went with Adoniel. But why am I not going to punish you? Because you were faithful to David when he experienced something. When was that? When David was running away from Avshalom. Eviatar went with him. And look how Shlomo HaMelech describes what David went through. Ki nasata et aron Hashem lifnei David avi, v'chi hit'aneta b'chol asher hit'ana avi. David HaMelech, when he ran away from Avshalom, he was in a process of inuri. And they continue. Now go back to the psukim in Shmuel Bet. וכתיב בית לדוד כי אמרו העם רעב ועייף וצמא במדבר. When David HaMelech ran away from Avshalom, he went up to Har Etzofim. It's really amazing to read the Pesukim. As long as he walks up the hill, he can still see Yerushalayim and Har Abayit. So he walks slowly and he's crying. The moment he goes over the hill of Har Etzofim, you don't see Yerushalayim anymore, they start running away. And you go to the Judean desert, and it's described over here that what was the experience of the Am there? They were ra'ev, hungry, ayef, how would you translate ayef? Tired. V'tzame, bamidbar. So look what they say, ra'ev milechem, tzama mimayim, ayef mimayim. So you suggested they're tired. Look what the sugya says. La mirechitza? So here I know that Rechitza is Inui. Nimara says, no. Dilma Nigilata Sandal, maybe because they had no shoes, they were tired. Well, I never heard when I was tired. Usually people tell me, drink some coffee or take a nap. Nobody ever told me, put your shoes on. So we'll discuss that later. Ela Marav Yitzchak Me'acha Ma'im Karim Al Nefesh Ayefa. The rechitza is on the nefesh, and the mayim is when you drink ba nefesh, because you drink it. Okay? Nata sandal menalan. The Gemara says the same thing. You go back to David, because what does it say here? Dichtiv. If David oleh malazitim, that's what I described before. As long as he goes up malazitim, he's in the process of evel. ובוכה וראשו לא חפוי והוא הולך יחף יחף ממה אליו מילת הסנדל דילמה מיסוס ימרתך etc. But the Gemara, when you read the Bavli, the first thing that you notice very clearly is that the Bavli wants to use the terminology of Inui, meaning of the Sifra and the Rambam said, let's transform ourselves from Tsar, from Inui to Shabbaton. Wow, I love that language. The Bavli is really making an effort to talk the language of Inui, Inui, they're all five are Inui. Now, I was giving a lot of thought when I was learning the Sukkiot last year to to Lizur Rechitza. Most people that I asked last year, let's try it now, say, what's the inui not doing, not performing Rechitza? So you don't wash yourself. What's the inui? So the answer I got from most people are, what's the inui? You know what the inui is? When you don't wash yourself one day, what bothers you so much?
Well, you feel unclean.
Unclean. Exactly, thank you. Let's cut here, okay? Unclean! Dirty, right? But when you read the Sugyot of Rechitza, there's one thing very evident. If you're dirty, you're allowed to wash yourself in Yom Kippur. Meaning Rechitza in Yom Kippur is not in the order that you should be dirty, says the Braita. I'll read it to you. Line 74 on Tanur Rabbanan. Asur lechotz miktzat gufo kechol gufo. V'im haya meluchlach betito betoa. Rochetz kedalko ve'no chashesh. Meaning if you're dirty, you're allowed to wash your hands. אסור אסור וקצת גופו וכל גופו ואם היה חולה או שאולו חתקים בראשו סך כדלכו ולא חשש. Meaning, if you're dirty or uncomfortable, you're allowed to perform רחיצה in שיחה. Now, I'm not telling you הלכה למעשה to do this, but the משנה ברורה is an amazing פסק in אורח חיים, סימן, תפרש, יגיב, מוסיף קטן בית. He says the following, שלא אסרו אלא רחיצה של תענוג. And therefore he says, Melashon Zem Mashma, Ve'im Hizia Harbe, I don't know anybody who doesn't stand in shul with a kittel and a talit on, and he doesn't sweat. So you feel dirty, right? About feel of even more than a regular person who davenes. He's all into the davening, he's full of sweat. He finishes Musaf, which the Bura says, since if you have lichluch, you're allowed to wash it, so go take a shower. He writes it. מלשון זה משמע דימיזי הרבה ורוצה ללחוץ לאוויר הזה מותר. Then he gets he's afraid of what he himself said, right? So he says the following, ומקום הכל מי שאינו איסטניס ואינו צריך לחיצה לעשות כל כך נכון להחמיר. Okay, don't do it. But if you listen carefully to the categorization of Rechitza, what's the inui involved? It would seem very clear. Mishnah Berurah listened to what the source is saying. It has nothing to do with being unclean. It's clean.
But if the experience, I think, let's say a woman, when she's changing a baby's diaper and she has to wash her hands, so she washes where she's dirty and she stops, in a sense, it's the same lack of pleasure of someone who has to drink, let's say, shiurim, and by drinking that way, it's like just really litzorech and not to get pleasure.
Okay, that's possible.
Something like so limited.
That's possible. Even though if your whole hand gets dirty, you can wash your own hand.
But
there's some awareness. Okay, I accept. My students wanted to tell me that sweat is not like dirt. They had a whole Torah about it. I mean, I don't know how many times a week they shower. I don't know, they're adolescents. But Mishneh Berurah very clearly, says that Isur Rechitza has nothing to do with being unclean. Nothing. Now, when you continue the Sugya of Rechitza, you see something amazing. The Gemara later on, in Daf Ayin, it's here on the page, Daf Ayin Chet. The Gemara decided at the end of this Sugya of Rechitza to discuss methods of how to cool yourself in Yom Kippur. And some of them are pretty scary. The Gemara says the following. This is part of the Sugya of Rechitza. Tnei Yehuda Baal Gogrot. Asur Leshev Al Gavei Tina B'Yom HaKippurim. Now what is Tina? It's wet teat, which is a little wet. Now what's the question? Because it's Isur Rechitza and it's wet. Are you allowed to touch it or not? And then the Gemara, why should anybody want to sit on it? Since it's damp, what quality does it have? To cool them off. Now look what the Gemara says. Amar Rav Yehuda, mutar leitztanen beperot. If you're very hot on Yom Kippur, you can take some fruit which are different temperature than your body, a lower temperature than your body, and cool yourself by putting them on your body. Rav Yehuda leitztanen bekara. He would take a pumpkin. Rabba, this is scary. The Rambam doesn't bring this in Mishneh Torah. Leitztanen biyenuka with a child. Don't do it. Okay. The Rambam does not bring in the Mishneh Torah. But what do you see? That the end of Sugyat Rechitza, the Gemara discusses methods of cooling your body down on Yom Kippur. And the Gemara later is just amazing. Zi'ilo Bar Chama, I skipped to line 90. Ushpazichni de Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi, Yoshua ben Levi, kulu rabbanan de Kesari. Meaning all the great rabbis of Kesaria, one day they saw the son of Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Rav Yosef, Rav Shlomo Levi, they wanted to explain to him what a great man his father was. Happens to me sometimes. A great man that my grandfather was, my father. People try to explain it. So they want to explain to him what a great man Rav Yosef ben Levi was. I'm sure you would assume they had some great Chidushei Torah, you know, great Sodot, you know. Look what his greatness was. He was the first one in the world to develop those Magvonim Lachim, you know, those damp wipes that everybody uses when they change diapers. Look what it says over here. Bar Aryeh, the son of the lion. Your father was a lion. You know what his power was? How would he prepare for Yom Kippur? Would take tefillah zav. Now look what I prepared. Mitpachat hayalu be'erev Yom Kippur. He would take a mitpachat, like a piece of cloth, shore ota b'mayim, ose ota k'min kelim neguvim. He would make sure that it's damp. And next day, what would he do with it? Mishul machar mekaneach ba'panav yadav araglav, etc. What a great man! He taught us how you're allowed to cool yourself down in Yom Kippur. When I read this bara, I said to myself, "What's going on over here?" Meaning, we would see very clearly from the Gemara and Yuma. Now let's put together the two, this Gemara, another Gemara, that the experience of not washing on Yom Kippur has to be not with being unclean, but with being
refreshed.
Hot, exactly, refreshed, exactly. The ayef, exactly. Now I want to show you another Gemara in Beitzah, which is just amazing. The Mishnah in Beitzah, it's from line 100 on. Mishnah in Beitzah says it's an iser to be matvil kelim, which are tameh on Shabbat. And the Gemara has many explanations, opinions, why not? What's wrong with it? One of them is, Rava, if shenir kimetak ain't kli. Because you change the status of the kli through the mikveh. So the Gemara asks a simple question, so why can humans be tovel on Shabbat? They change their status too from tameh to tahor. Hihachi, Adam Nami. Look what the Gemara says. Adam Nireh Kimeker. People don't think he's changing his status from Tameh to Tahor. They don't think he went to the mikveh for halachic reasons. But he was hot. He's cooling down his body. Hateinach Mayim Yafim, a clean mikveh, right? Mayim Raim Mayim Kalim. What can be the only motivation to go into dirty water? Only if you're a fruit Jew. You want to be tovel. So if Nireh Kimetakein, look what they say. אמר רב נחמן בר יצחק, פעמים שאדם בא בשרב ורוחץ אפילו במי מישר. Meaning sometimes you're so hot that you will go into dirty water even though it doesn't clean your body, but it still cools you down. תנח ימות החמה, ימות הגשמים, מה יקלה נאמה? Nobody goes into a cold shower ימות הגשמים because he's hot. So the Gemara says, and only not reminds itself, maybe sometimes you take a shower because you're dirty. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, pe'amim she'adam ba min ha'sadeh meluchlach betito betzorah ve'rochetz v'fil limot ha'gshamim. What would seem very clearly from this Gemara is, in the time of Chazal, at least in the Bavli, when you see somebody washing his body, you think he's refreshing himself. He's cooling down the temperature of his body. You do not at first take into mind that he's cleaning himself. And I would like to remind ourselves, sitting in an air-conditioned room, that most of us go from one air-conditioning to another air-conditioned room, or in the winter from one heated room to another heated room. I mean, it depends where you live, but many people won't leave their house. They go from the air-conditioned house to the car, and they put the air-conditioning on. And so it's not those days, only the banks were air-conditioned. And the truth is that temperature, heat, is something which is very, very, very essential in our lives. When we're hot, we don't function. And so much money and effort we put into comparing temperatures. And what we've seen from the sugiyot here, that the essence of the inuy of rechitza of Yom Kippur is not being not clean, it's being ayef, being not refreshed, being hot. What's behind that? So if we go back to the Gemara in Ayin Zayin, with David HaMelech, the Gemara says a very, very, very essential thing. There it reveals the secret. The secret is ayef ra'ev etzameh. The truth is that being hot is a desert experience. That's what it is. And if you look a little more into the Inuim of Yom Kippur, you see that more of them, Halal Yerichitza, have to do with the experience of living in the desert. Achilah Shtiya, Vayancha, Vayaridecha, Vayachilcha et Aman, Asher lo achalta. I skipped it before in the Sifra, but one of the Tanaim quotes in the Sifra, meaning how do I know that Inui is referring to eating? From Vayancha Vayaridecha, that was in the desert. Nilat Asada, the Psukim that continue, Simlatcha lo valta me'alecha, Veraglecha lo batek. Now I want to go back to the Havamin of the Sifra. Yachol Yeshev Bachama Uvatzina Kadei Sheitztayev. I think now we understand why the Sifra chose this example. Because what is Yeshev Bachama? That's a desert experience. But the Bavli is portraying to us the idea of the Inui of Yom HaKippurim is not a Shabbaton, it's going back to the desert. Like Yirmiyahu HaNavi, Mi'itneini Bamidbar Kenununa, going back to the desert. And when we ask ourselves, why go back to the desert? What's behind it?
Well,
so first, yes, please.
I was going to say, because Jews, by everything that is written, is supposed to experience the desert experience. That's how they got close to Hashem.
Yofi, very good, yeah. So a few things. First of all, going to the desert is not Tzom Kal. Who is me Tzom Kal? It's Tzom. It's some kasher. That's first of all. Maybe it's some oil. Now, going back to the desert, before I explain it, involves another thing. Going back to the desert takes us directly to which chag of Chodesh Tishrei?
Sukkot.
Sukkot. Very clearly. I'll discuss it soon. What we learn now from the relationship between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. But Yechol Yeshev Bachama Uvatzina Kadei Sheitztaher is the language of Chag HaSukkot. If you sit in the sukkah and you're mitzta'er, and one of the tzar described in Masechet Sukkah is chama and tzina, you're patur min sukkah. Meaning this desert experience is not only in Yom Kippur according to the Bavli. It, basically what the Bavli did, it went to Sukkot and through Sukkot developed an idea that Yom HaKippurim, like Sukkot, is related to a desert experience. And I would suggest the following. Develop what you said. Thank you. Humans have civilizations which are all aimed to protect themselves. The defenses we build are all to give us security against our enemies, against diseases, against famine, against all things that threaten us. When you look at a civilization, it's busy in giving itself security, confidence. That we want to know what's going to happen. We want to control the future. We want to learn. We knowledge is power, and that's something which is positive. It's not negative. It's positive. It's a fulfillment of the divine commandment. You have to develop civilization as much as we can, and it's a religious deed and act. So it's something secular. But this is the danger in living in a civilized society. In the city, when you look up, you see the pollution, and you get dizzy from the skyscrapers. You don't really see God in the city when you're in a civilization. It appears almost with Perush from the Torah, what I'm telling you. Preshit Dalad. When Cain sins, the Torah says to him, I'm reading, the Kadosh Baruch Hu says to him, Navanat Yevaretz. Cain says to him, Hen gerashta oti ayom me'al pnei adama mipanecha esater. The Navanat Yevaretz is Esther Panim of God. You want to have a place where you can face God. Veiti Navad Banaretz v'acho muti algeni. What does Cain do? Vayhi bone ir, vayikra shem ha'ir, k'shem beno chanoch. He builds a city, and here is his, it does not contradict the punishment, navanat tiyeh ba'aretz, astel panecha mimeni, because the city is a place of humans, it's astel panim. And the defenses that we build as humans, which are positive, their spiritual danger, and the Torah in Dvarim Chet talks about it clearly, is they forget God. They forget who gives them the power to build this, their civilization. When you sin in Eretz Yisrael, the Pesukim in Dvarim Chet, you forget who gave it to you. You forget that the Koach La'asot Chayil came from the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore in Dvarim Chet, the Torah says, leave civilization, leave your house, go back to the desert and remind yourself how fragile you are. Remind yourself what a human being is. You don't eat lunch for one day and you think of your stomach. Meaning, if the Sifra says who wants to eat Yom Kippur, the Bavli says, feel that if you don't eat lunch one day, you're dizzy. Meaning, in order not to deny the achievements of civilization or to portray them not positively, but in order to get the right perspective about it, you have to crack it. You have to see how weak you are, who you are. You go on Yom Kippur back to the desert, you leave all those protections which we have built for ourselves, and you understand who you are. And therefore, when you understand who you are, you can open your heart for relationship to God, and you don't stop in Yom Kippurim. When you go to the Sukkah, what do you learn? You learn the secret that God can protect you from all those weaknesses, human weaknesses. Because the idea of Chag HaSukkot is, I'm going back to the Braita, the Chol Yeshev B'Chamal V'Tzina. The idea of Sukkot is that you learn that as in the desert God gave protections to the Jewish people, so you learn who gives you the power to protect yourself. On Yom Kippur you are with no protections. I don't know the English word in Hebrew. You're chasuf to all the ga'im of the midbar, okay? You're totally unprotected for one day. And at Sukkot you learn that there are protections. Humans can build a civilization, but you have to learn who gives you the power to build it. And that's what you do in Chag HaSukkot. You are protected from the Chama. It's a mitzvah to eat in the Sukkot. Chachamim say only the first night. That achila is connected not eating in Yom Kippur. In Yom Kippur, you have the inu, you have not eating. On Sukkot, I prefer Sukkot than Pesach. On Sukkot, what do you learn? That you can eat because God gives you the food. According to Rabbi Eliezer, you have to eat in the Sukkah 14 meals. Every day, 2 meals. Because the idea of the Sukkah is to be a negative to the idea of Yom Kippur because they complete each other. On Yom Kippur, you go to the desert. On Sukkot, you protect yourself in the desert. And what is the, perhaps the highlight with gold of all of this? The highlight is Hoshana Rabbah. When you return your kelim to the bayit, and then at Shmini Atzeret, you, in your house, after you've learned the proper lesson, now you can be protected within the compound, within the boundaries of a house, of a human civilization, and spend here the whole year, Sameach Lifnei Hashem, because you learned the proper lesson. Yom Kippur, the Inuim, according to the Bavli, are aimed at cracking our protections in order not to show us how weak we are, but in order to learn that the protections we build for ourselves are from the grace of God. That's the lesson Yom Kippur wants to teach us. Now, I told you previously, I liked very much the Sifra for many years, and I don't know if it's age, but one thing I do know, that maybe being middle-aged and the youngest person in the room, I do feel that the most, I would say, authentic parts of our lives, I'm saying this 3 days before Yom Kippur, are not our successes, they're our failures. They're ours. Meaning, what is a human being? It's all his difficulties. That's what they're all made of. Rabshaul Lieberman once expressed it very, very clearly. When he turned 80, a festschrift was published in his honor. And they had a whole big, you know, Yom Yun, the lectures. And when he responded at the end of the day, he expressed a very deep truth about, I think, humanity. He said that he doesn't like the whole celebration. He said, the truth is, he says, that a man can say many chidushim in his life, many achievements. When he first says that, people look at him and say, Minani Mili, meaning, who said what you're suggesting is true? After a few days, they're all convinced that it's true, and they forget that he said it. Then they say to him, Pshita, my Kamash Malam. Well, it's the only thing, they'll never forget him. Will always remain his forever. His mistakes. And therefore he said, you know what you should do when you turn 80? When you basically try to look back at your life, you should make a fest trip with all your mistakes. And then when people will refer to your mistakes, they will say, Lieberman the Great made a mistake, as he himself has admitted in his book, page 25. What he really says is, our successes people take from us. Eventually they don't remain ours. They become nachlak akhlal, everybody takes them. But what's really ourselves are our difficulties, the challenges we have, the things which we don't know what to do with them, our sins. And these parts, some are more expressed by the Bavli. Yom Kippur, look at how weak you are. But don't lose hope, because you can stand in front of God, and God is a mercy Father, and He gives us slicha u'mechila, and He wants to protect us, and He wants us to live as humans. Ata hivdalta enosh mirosh, batifcharel la'amod lefanecha. And the Bavli's inui el Yom Kippur is nilo. It's mutar ha'adam in ha'bimah ha'in ki ha'kol ha'vel, v'ata hivdalta enosh mirosh, tifcharel la'amod lefanecha. And with this, I would like to conclude this year and wish all of you a gemar chatima tova, a good year for all of us and for all of Israel. Thank you. Thank you. Be well.